Nearly half of new coronavirus infections nationwide are in just five states, a situation that's putting pressure on the feds to consider changing how they distribute vaccines by sending more doses to hotspots in Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, Michigan, and Florida. Together, they have 44% of the nation's new COVID-19 infections.
Dr. Jay Schnitzer leads the COVID-19 Healthcare Coalition, which includes Microsoft, Amazon, Google, Pfizer, and MIT. He's also chief medical officer at the nonprofit MITRE Corporation based in McLean. And he tells Dimitri, we've got to vaccinate people as quickly as we can to try to outrun the highly contagious UK variant.
I see it currently as a race between getting enough of us vaccinated and the progress of the variants and the spread of the virus, particularly the variants. And it's a race between those two. And I'm hopeful that we win with the vaccinations winning quickly and early and soon enough to win that race. Part of the problem, Dimitri, is that we're all tired of this pandemic. We're all sick and tired of it, and we're losing patience with it. And what's happening across the nation, unfortunately, is people are relaxing their behaviors because they're sick and tired of it. And this is the worst time to do that. We have to maintain mask wearing, social distancing, good hygiene, avoiding crowds until enough of us are vaccinated. And we aren't there yet. And if we relax too much too soon, the virus is going to win, at least in the short term. And that could be really bad news for the country. So we've got to keep at it.
European medical leaders now say that there is a connection between the AstraZeneca vaccine and very rare cases of blood clots. They are categorizing that as a side effect. Of course, AstraZeneca is not being used in the United States, but we do have Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer, and there are reports they may occasionally cause blood clots. Would you recommend, or at least have us think about, popping a couple of aspirin after those vaccines, just in case?
Well, I think it's important to remember, before we jump to too many conclusions about blood clots, is that blood clots are a frequent occurrence. Are the numbers of blood clots, the percentages of blood clots in people who have received vaccinations higher than the general population age matched and otherwise matched? And the answer so far on the large numbers of data that we have from multiple vaccines is no, there's no difference. So I think it's useful to take an aspirin a day anyway for all kinds of reasons, but I don't think vaccination, at least not according to the data we've seen and the evidence we've seen so far, imparts a greater risk of blood clots than people have already.
It would not be a good reason, I assume, to avoid the vaccine.
Not at all. So if you're worried about blood clots in general, increase your activity level. Sitting and other sedentary activities increase the chance of blood clots. Make sure you're well hydrated. Make sure you're up and walking around, but by all means, do not avoid vaccination. The risk of severe COVID is far worse for people who are not vaccinated than the risk of random blood clots.
Moving to the topic of vaccine passports, New York has launched an app for digital proof of vaccination. Texas and Florida have actually banned them. But if we continue at this current rate of vaccinations, will these passports be even needed? I mean, you don't show proof of measles, mumps, and rubella, or polio vaccines, or even the flu during flu season.
So first of all, I think we have to be careful about the term passport. I don't think using the term passport is a good idea, and it invokes a whole bunch of other ideas in people for good reason that are not helpful. It's a credential. It's a credentialing initiative that people are talking about. And maybe we don't need it. Everybody gets the CDC card. We all have it after we get vaccinated, and we can carry that around. And that is certainly a credential that we can show if somebody needs to know whether we've been vaccinated. But your point about not showing vaccination records isn't entirely correct. Remember, for example, that when we were kids, we used to have to produce our vaccination records in order to be allowed into school. And we still do for school-aged children across the country, showing their vaccination records. So we have to do this as a society anyway. And it's important and will be important going forward, probably for this particular virus, which, by the way, isn't just COVID-19. It's COVID-19, 20, 21, and beyond with future variants. We might need to make sure that we have some way of demonstrating that enough people are vaccinated, particularly in large group settings. Think of sports arenas and so forth. And then we will need some kind of credential to demonstrate when we go through the gates that it's safe for us to do so.
What about the societal concerns that I'm sure you've heard about, the haves and have-nots, something in our society that would perhaps allow access for certain people and not for others.
Yeah, and that we should not tolerate. We should make sure that it is completely equitable and equally available to everybody, regardless of their place in society. And to have a situation where we have haves and have-nots in this regard is absolutely not tolerable. We should not and shall not do that. But we can do it in an equitable fashion. It can be done so that it's available to everybody, and we must insist upon that.
Is there a lot that we don't know about the vaccines, including how long they last, and what are your concerns in that regard?
There's a lot we don't know about a lot of this, Dimitri. We don't know a lot about the vaccines. We've only had them for, remember, less than a year. It's an extraordinary event that we've had vaccines appear this quickly and be available. Never happened in history, so this is amazing. But we don't know a lot about this disease. We've only had this disease on our horizon for about a year and a half. So we don't even know everything we need to know about this disease. And by the way, it's mutating, so it's changing. So we don't know what it's going to be like in the future either. So the unknown unknowns are out there. We have to be thinking about them all the time. We're learning every day as we go, learning new things that we didn't know the day before. We will continue to do that going forward. And yes, occasionally we're going to get surprised in a bad way when something's going to break and show us that we really didn't understand everything we thought we did.
I know medical professionals sometimes bristle at the word cure, but what do you know about work to improve our therapies, other medicines that could someday mean we never have to worry about COVID?
And so that's a great question. And I wish there were something on the horizon that I could point to and say, you know, this will be coming soon, and this will make everything else obsolete. But remember, we don't have much in the way of cures for any virus illness. Most of the viruses that we worry about in life, the major way of dealing with them, and you listed some of them already earlier, is with immunizations, is with vaccines. And so we cured smallpox as a globe, as a planet, through vaccine, not through some kind of special medicine that you give after smallpox. Same thing for measles, mumps, rubella, and so forth. So chickenpox. So we really need to think seriously about how likely is it that we're going to have a very potent antiviral that's going to work. Hopefully it'll be here someday, but there aren't any precedents for it. And it's hard to find a viral disease for which there is an antiviral agent that I would call a cure at this point in time. The closest we have is probably HIV, where the drug cocktails that are in place now are very, very effective at maintaining the disease at very low levels. But that's an exception rather than the rule in viral diseases.
What haven't I asked about that you'd like to end with?
I think you've asked many and most of the really great questions. I think, you know, that what's on everybody's mind is what does the future hold? And that's the hardest thing to know. My crystal ball is about as cloudy or opaque as anybody else's. I would only say that we have to keep an open mind about this. And we have to try to avoid getting overly political about this. And please, 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 let's try to let the science, the evidence, and the data drive our thoughts and our decisions and our future actions. That's how we're going to beat this, not by having political battles.
Dr. Jay Schnitzer leads the COVID-19 Healthcare Coalition. He is chief medical officer at the nonprofit MITRE Corporation based in McLean.